I'm told the number one fear people have is speaking in public. It's the one fear I don't have. Join me for the Love Speak series, where we leave fear behind and we speak love. Loving our story, loving speaking, doing what we love, loving each other, and loving ourselves. Our stories are what connect us and make us better humans. So join me and my Love Speaks friends for some stories, some laughs, some inspiration, some speaker tips, and some unexpected truth. It's the Love Speaks series, where a little bit of love goes a long way.
Welcome to the Love Speaks series. Here's your host, Sally Lou Loveman.
Oh my gosh, I'm so excited to be in the studio today with my friend, calling all rebels, people. We are speaking about being a rebel today on the Love Speaks series podcast, and my girlfriend, Shelley Paxton, author of Soulbatical, A Corporate Rebel's Guide to Finding Your Best Life, is here. So if you are looking to find your best life in a rebellious way, Shelley can help you. Okay, so let me just brag about her a little bit. At 46, she left her big, sexy job at an iconic brand called Harley-Davidson. No big deal, right? And then she designed what she called her Soulbatical. At 48, she started her own company and business. And at 50, she published her first book, which is why we're talking today. Shelley lives her life on her terms, and she's here to tell us all how we can do the same. Please welcome to the podcast my sassy, adorable friend who I'm so glad to see live in person. We're like 10 feet away, and we've done everything proper. Shelley Paxton. Hey!
Hello. I feel like dancing and singing and giving a woot woot.
I know. I mean, we really need to. Shelley and I met literally when my book first came out at an event. She was kind enough to come to my event because we have a mutual friend, Melanie Penshall, who started her amazing platform, Next Collective. She said we should get to know each other, and she was right. And then Shelley published her book. I published mine. And then what happened?
Well, the rest is history. Oh, right. COVID.
Oh, that happened.
Oh, then that happened a few weeks after we published our first book, Babies into the World.
But we're still here. We're both talking about our book still.
Girl, we're kicking it. You've been through the worst of it. Oh, yeah, my God. Yeah. I was sending you lots of healthy vibes and virtual hugs during that whole.
I'm just going to tell you that I still have I had COVID. Everyone knows. I still have a lot of inflammation problems. I have pleurisy in my lungs. I'm getting my lungs back. I've lost some of my COVID weight, which really helps with my health, which is why I'm losing it. But like today, you'll see I have like two fever blisters on my lip and it's freaking me out, but I swear it's from COVID related. Everything's COVID related. I got Lyme disease this summer, COVID related. Okay, that had nothing to do with COVID. I have had, you know, swelling gums. That is COVID. I mean, it just doesn't end, especially if you have an autoimmune disease like me. So wear a fucking mask, people. Okay, that's my amen to that.
And that we were wearing our masks earlier keeping our distance. But I'm so happy to see you. And just so you know, I cannot see your fever blisters, just in case anybody was wondering.
They hurt, and I'm glad that I can wear a mask. Like a couple week ago, I lost my tooth.
Oh my God.
My mask helped me with that. And now I have fever blisters. I think this mask is coming in handy. I don't know. Maybe it's the mask that's giving me the fever blisters.
Oh my God. Who knows what it's doing? But I love one of my girlfriends said mascara sales are going up and lipstick sales are going down.
Exactly. It's all like, about the eyes. That's so true.
I'm doing eyelash extensions. That is not the point of this podcast, but it is an addiction.
Welcome to my addiction.
Oh my God.
60s Beauty Lash. Shout out to my lash extension family.
My God.
Yeah. Aren't they fabulous though?
Yeah. Amazing Lash Studio is where I go. And I have to say, I was ready to give it up. And then working on face and doing the face mask thing now. I'm like, And P.S. because I show up on Zoom pretty much every day.
Right.
I'm like, okay, this takes the morning routine and squeezes it down to like 5.5 minutes.
Right. Because you don't need mascara, right? You just look ready to go.
I know.
It's an addiction.
And I look more awake than I am sometimes.
Yeah. And pretty and younger. and all that. Oh so God, all that all good stuff. Things.
God, you and I should be like spokespeople for beauty products. Hello. Why hasn't anybody hired us to do this yet?
We can be spokespeople for so many things.
That's so true.
Okay, I'm having a hot flash. Anyway, okay, so what I want to ask you, my signature question, like your signature question, what are you rebelling for? How is love speaking to you today?
Oh, girl. Well, one, because I'm here with you.
Yay.
That's my number one. And two, I've got to tell this story. I was thinking about this on the way over here.
I love a good story.
This, I know you do. And you've taught me how to tell an even better story.
Really?
Because
I got the chills.
I've just learned so much from you in person and your book and all the things. You know I'm such a massive fan and I'm learning.
I'm a huge fan
like how
of
to speak
yours.
Better and tell stories better. So far, I'm not doing a really good job with this story.
No, you're doing great. Start.
So this week was kind of a pivotal week for me. You know, sometimes we have those weeks where we're like really down because we're feeling overwhelmed by everything.
Yes.
And I was having that feeling coming off Labor Day weekend. And I was driving back from my sister. She's in Detroit. So it's like a 5-hour drive through this torrential rainstorm. And so I'm in my head the whole time. I'm just in my head, in my car, in the bubble. And I'm like, you know what? I can feel that the universe is like moving and opening doors and portals and all the things for me and my business and this message. And at the same time, I'm realizing that I'm not focused enough on the big rocks. Like I'm still getting distracted by all the pebbles in the garden, right?
Yes.
And so I'm like, oh man, I need to bring this into my coaching community. And so that day, literally, I get to my house. 10 minutes later, I'm on a Zoom with my coaching community. And we start talking about this, and I just have
explain
this
that
clarity.
What do you mean, your coaching community?
So
who you coach? Or
I know
coaches?
This is actually. So I am part of a community called 4PC. So think about it, it's. I don't like to call it a mastermind because it's so much more than a mastermind.
Right.
But I am part of this as a way to keep me challenged
accountable.
And inspired and accountable and doing the
it's
work.
It's like a YPO forum. Do you know about
those?
Yeah,
I do.
I love
exactly.
That.
Exactly. So it's something similar to that for in this particular group. Is like extraordinary entrepreneurs and leaders and coaches.
Got it.
And so, and we have our master coach, Rich Litvin, who leads
your coach.
My coach, who I talk about in the book.
Yes.
So he leads the whole thing. And so I came in. It's just such a beautiful community that really challenges you. And it's also the place where you're safe to talk about this stuff.
And Rich's big lesson to you was to
slow down
to speed up.
Exactly.
I love that.
And we also talked about, you know, how can I start thinking about like, well, what's a 10 for me? Think about your life and everything you do on a scale from 1 to 10. 1 is, why am I doing this? This drains my energy. And 10 is, give me more of this all day long. This lights me up.
Yeah.
This is achieving my goals. It's having the impact in the world that I want. And a friend of ours, Mark Silverman, wrote a book called Only Tens. And I interviewed him last week and the seed was planted. And I kept asking myself, why am I doing the sixes and the sevens and the eights and the nines?
Right.
Why am I not
focused
on—
Oh my God, I do so many ones and twos all day long. It's ridiculous.
It's crazy. And so I'm going to fast forward. One of the guys in the community, my friend Matt, who I adore, Matt just saw all of the emotion.
I love that you have so many guy friends. I like that about you.
And I love it.
Yeah, I do too. I love that about you.
I am not discriminating when it comes to deep human connection.
Right.
Yes.
I know that.
And so Matt, he's part of the community and he sent me a private message and said, hey, I sense that there's more that wants to come out. I'd be happy to spend an hour with you. We did. I got so much clarity. He drew so much out of me on like the pillars and what are my big rocks and all of this stuff. This was just on Tuesday.
Oh my gosh.
So I've had this week of going, this is amazing. I get it now. I have so much clarity and I'm seeing more things unfold. And then this morning, he sent me a bouquet of flowers. So this comes back to love.
Okay.
The bouquet of flowers.
Oh, how is love speaking to you?
How
Got
is
it.
Love speaking? Sorry, I'm still answering the question.
I was totally off on your story. Got it. Okay.
I promise it's an answer. And a bouquet of flowers arrives and I'm like, what? Who sends me flowers? No one sends me flowers. Open it up and the note, I can't remember exactly what it said, but the note basically was a note from my heart.
Oh.
He sent me a note from my heart thanking me for focusing only on tens so we can protect my energy and have the impact I want to have on the world. Love my heart and the billion souls who will be impacted.
Oh my goodness. I mean, please.
So if that's not love speaking.
That is love screaming. Yeah, that is love screaming to the rafters. That's beautiful. First of all, anyone listening, I mean, I so want my own coaching community. I have an idea in my head that I'm going to run by you later that I want you to be a founding member of. No pressure. And
I'm already giddy.
When we are in community, we are just better for everything. We, like you said, being challenged, being held accountable. And there are days where we can be driving the car thinking like, what am I doing? My impact is nothing. Oh my God, I have so much to do. I have to catch up. And then there are days where you get an article in Inc. magazine like you did. Like that was freaking – I was screaming again, screaming for you because that's huge. I mean, you – okay, so you were the at Harley-Davidson – were you the chief marketing officer?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Chief marketing officer. I was basically the VP of marketing, chief marketing officer.
Right.
Yeah.
Huge, huge job, huge brand. Just got like to the point where you're like, I'm exhausted. My soul has been sucked.
And my soul was screaming to me, right?
Right.
It's like, you're not listening. Hello.
You needed to be fueled. And you decided at 46.
Yeah, I left at 46.
To go on a soulbatical, one of your many made-up words.
Truth. And
I need a glossary. I love your made-up words. Your book, okay, I want to ask you, what made you take the soulbatical? And, you know, in the short version, because the book just explains it so beautifully. But you, the way you write, and I'm going to ask you to read a couple things because I freaking love so much of what you say. You speak right to the reader and you speak real and you make me laugh really hard. But you also deliver some huge, enormous takeaways for us all. Whether you are not necessarily a rebel because you're a little like nervous to go out and do things that scare you, you can still get great advice from your book. Or if you're a rebel, you can get really great advice from your book. So what made you decide to take a soulbatical? And tell us about the principles, which I love all of them, of your soulbatical.
Yeah. So what made me take a soulbatical? Well, I created the word. So
of course.
Yeah, exactly. That is one of my favorite things. So thank you for saying that. I love language creation.
What are some other words you created?
Oh, man.
There's so many.
So, well, I created my own title, which is Chief Soul Officer. Oh, that was one.
And I'm now Chief Love Officer because you created that. So I'm like, okay, I got to call myself
Of course
that.
You are. So
I
from
love
Chief
that.
Soul Officer to Chief Love Officer.
Chief Soul Officer.
Soul filling instead of fulfilling. That's
right.
Another one.
Love.
Oh my gosh.
I know, there's so
now you're putting
many
me on the spot.
Them.
I can't remember. But
well,
so,
don't worry.
Those are a couple.
Yeah.
I also like to say successful because honestly, you don't like nobody has to be a rebel in the traditional sense to get the messages out of this book and out of what I speak into the world. Because what I do is flip rebelling on its head. You know this.
Yes.
And I talk about rebelling for, not against. So I actually want to pull the rebel out of everyone.
Right, because that's your question. What are you rebelling for?
Exactly. So are you rebelling for who you are, what you want, and the impact you want to have in the world?
Right.
So let's shake it up. Let's rewrite the script of success. Let's like flip the middle finger to the status quo. Like let's do it already.
Right. And you're trying to get businesses filled with soul, which is a whole other, I'm sure, huge, huge challenge.
Yeah.
But,
oh,
so
to
tell
answer
us,
your question.
Yes. So tell us first about the principles of your soulbatical and why you did it.
Yeah. So I'll start with why I did it and then kind of lead into. So why I did it was I got my own kind of wake up call. You know, I'm a believer, and it's interesting that we're having this conversation, or probably not coincidental that we're having this
Never.
Conversation in the middle of a pandemic, right?
Right.
Because I believe a crisis always comes to teach us something.
Totally.
And we usually know that we're not aligned with our truth, or there's that little voice inside that we're spending more time like trying to tamp down or just go, shh.
Right.
Like
right.
It's inconvenient for me to listen to this.
I don't have time because I'm too miserable.
Exactly. I've got to do all the things that like make me unhappy.
Right.
Because then maybe I'll get to that thing that's going to finally make me unhappy, which is, of course, never the thing that's going to make us happy.
Exactly.
Right? We're always looking outside of ourselves. And I had my own version of that. Actually, I had, now that I've looked back at it writing the book, I had many versions. What happened to me while I was at Harley in the last year that I was at Harley was I was having this insane nightmare.
Right.
That remember? So yes. This is where my book starts. My book starts with a chapter called Getting Woke, literally.
yeah.
And this was like, I always say, like, our soul and the universe are trying to speak to us at all times,
all the
right?
time.
Are we open to it? Are we listening deeply? Or are we like, nope, next thing?
Right.
And in this case, like, I believe, like, it'll whisper to you and then it'll shout.
Right.
And then it will whack you with a 2x4.
Yes, I totally agree on all of it.
Yeah. And usually that's like tragedy, death, crisis, whatever. In my case, it was this awful nightmare that was ripping me out of my sleep like 5 nights a week. And it was showing me my dog who had died 6 years prior. And what I find going on this journey that I'm like resistant to the entire time in the nightmare, and then I find him in this little utility closet in this dark, lifeless room, is that he's been alive the whole time.
Mm. Oh, my God. Right.
And that
and
he's
you forgot
been,
to feed him.
And I forgot to feed him.
Oh
and
my
I
God.
Never pet him. And I didn't even know he was living there. So he's been neglected.
So you
and
had
malnourished.
This missed opportunity of this amazing joy in your life that you totally forgot about. Oh, I get that so much more now that you're saying that than when I read it. That's so cool.
Yeah. And so basically then, as you know, I kind of went on, I was suffering. I was choosing to suffer instead of talking to somebody about this to try to really understand right. what was happening through the
you
nightmare.
You were nurturing yourself. The dog was you. You forgot about yourself.
The dog was my soul.
Yeah.
And that's what I learned. I went to a doctor who introduced me to meditation. So I only started meditating for the first time at the age of 45.
Hasn't it just changed your life?
Changed my life. And I still struggle with it at times, like every other human
that's okay.
does, right?
We're supposed to.
And so, yes. And that's also through meditation, I understood these messages. Listen to me, love me, nurture
yes.
me, feed me.
Yes.
And I was like, it's my soul.
Yes.
My soul's crying for attention.
That's what meditation does. It opens you up to yourself, which is your soul. Perfect. That is so cool. Okay. So
that was the beginning of the end.
You had the nightmare, and then what happened? The repetitive nightmare.
Yeah, I had the repetitive nightmare, which, by the way, continued until the day I left Harley, which is crazy. Even as I started to take steps, it wasn't going to let it take its clutches out of me until I left. I made that commitment to my soul.
You are speaking about something that I'm positive anyone listening has had as well. I know I have. I still have dreams about being in the studio, not being prepared. There's no audience. Everything's waiting on me. I forgot to do this, that. I also still have, which is very strange. I don't think I told you this, but I still have dreams that I have a baby and I forgot to feed the baby.
Oof.
So evidently, I'm forgetting to feed my soul, okay? So it's not a dog. It's a baby. I have that consecutively. Okay, so
the principles of Soulbatical.
Yes.
So I create this thing called Soulbatical. I know I need to leave my work to go nurture my soul. I have no idea where that's going to lead me. I do the scariest thing in the world, which is to walk out of the sexiest job in marketing.
Sexy.
If not the world.
Right.
The most iconic brand. And to go nurture my soul and to honestly go discover if Shelly Paxton isn't the most iconic brand that I could ever represent.
Exactly.
And that is, I mean, so that's the first principle is all about authenticity.
Yeah.
Right? For me, it was really getting in touch with my truth and who I am at the core.
Yeah.
And really kind of getting in touch with my worth from the inside out, because part of the work that I had to do was unravel myself from sexy brands and big titles and big paychecks and all the things.
And traveling the world.
And traveling the world and riding motorcycles around the world.
Yeah.
All of that. Yeah. And you realize like it gets scary and it gets lonely because you've attached so much of your self-worth, at least in my case, mm-hmm. and I know others have experienced this, to these things.
Yeah.
That it's like, well, who am I? And you kind of start over.
I get that.
Yeah, I know you do.
Sexy brand Oprah.
Yeah. You and I have had this conversation. And we both had the same experience. It's like, then the phone stops ringing. Oh, and then you start going, oh my God, what have I done? What? Who are you?
Right.
Oh, you're not my conduit to Harley Davidson anymore?
Click.
Oh. So I had all of that. And so it helped me realize that authenticity is the truest form of rebellion.
Oh, ooh, I got the chills. I love that.
That's my bumper sticker, right? That's my love note to the world is like, that's where everything else comes from. So get in touch with our truth and our own authenticity.
I love that.
And then start acting on that, you know, in the world. So I would say Soulbatical really stands for three things, right? It's authenticity, it's courage, right? So the courage to live our truth and speak our truth. And purpose.
Yes. Oh, three things I love.
Three things you love. So in sync with your, with your world.
I'm telling you, like I said on an earlier thing that we did together, the way you write is the way I speak and hear. And so I love that about you. I mean, you're a beautiful writer. I want you to read, I didn't write the page down.
If you tell me where it is, I can probably quickly find it.
No, it's, okay. So I'm going to read this one, but then I'm going to make you read another one because I thought I wrote the page down. And her book is so doggy-eared and highlighted and all of it. Like, this book, Soulbatical, is like My Daring Greatly by Brené Brown, who Shelley reminds me of. So it's like my favorite. I love it. But you write this, and I love this because one of my big things is I always say that story is our superpower, but you say truth is, which is basically story. You write this, and I love this, because operating from a place of truth is a kind of superpower. It's the rocket fuel that allows us to play big, that forces us to no longer lurk in the shadows of our own bullshit. I love the way you write. So powerful that we have no choice but to step out onto the stage. I mean, hello, Brené, and share our humanity and gifts with the world in the way only we can. Okay.
Which sounds like Sally Lou Loveman.
We did not know each other. It's just so interesting how worlds are brought together and everything you write about, from your dad to your growing up and just being brave and courageous and now starting something. I just relate to so much of it. And your story is not like mine. Mine isn't like yours. But I relate to so much of it, which is the superpower of story. So you talk about purpose and the little P and the big P, and momentum, and baby steps to getting to what your purpose is. So tell us a little bit about that and how it happened for yourself as you're starting this, launching this platform, which you really didn't know it was a platform when you did it.
No clue. And I think like many people who are listening to this, the idea of big P purpose, like when people say that word, I just feel this heaviness.
Yes.
It feels overwhelming and super intimidating.
Yes.
And that's one of the things. So I was like, I know I have this bigger calling. I know I'm leaving for a reason, but I almost avoided saying that word for a long time.
Yeah, my kids hate that word because I use it constantly.
Well, there's that. And also when people say it, I watch. Like if I ask some of my clients that, I just watch them shrivel in front of me, right?
Right.
It's like, oh my God, like it feels so heavy.
Right.
So what I love about this idea of little P purpose is it's actually little P purpose is your passion.
Right.
And we can all say, what are the things that bring me joy?
Right.
What are the things I'm most passionate about? And my own journey helped me to understand this because the only responsibility I gave myself was to nurture my creative soul. When I walked out, that was like my tagline for Soulbatical. And I was like, okay, Shelley, what does that mean? And for me, it was reconnecting with three things that I absolutely love that I know light my soul on fire. One is travel, my own personal travel, not business travel, not all of that, but really connecting with an environment and going to a place that I, you know, like a spirit land, which I did find in New Zealand.
Of course you did.
Of course I did. Exactly. The second one was writing because I realized I hadn't, like, I love to write and I hadn't written anything. But a PowerPoint in decades.
Wow.
Which is.
And I hated writing too,
disturbing.
By the way. Yeah.
Oh, well,
so interesting.
Your book is amazing. So I loved that.
It's
that's
so
like
interesting.
Bringing that back out of you.
Yeah.
And you know, I think I started to hate writing for a long time too, because I associated it with business
work,
writing.
Right.
I associated it with work. And I was like, this isn't fun. This isn't interesting. I can't, you know, say fuck every other word. Like, I can't speak the way I want to speak.
Right.
Although I kind of did. I didn't really ever speak total corporate speak.
Right.
I kind of found this hybrid language for myself.
Because you made up words.
Because I make up words and I tell good stories.
You do.
However, so that was a big piece. I'm like, I want to start to write again. I just want to like prime that pump and see what comes out.
Yeah.
And then the third thing was photography.
Right.
My dad had always been, you know, on the side, not professionally, but just an amateur photographer, and had, you know, his photography around their house. And I was like, I love photography. And people would always comment like, you have such a great eye, even if I was just, you know, doing it without, well, we didn't have iPhones back in those days, but right, you know, just some sort of like point and shoot camera, right? Polaroid, whatever. Exactly. And reconnecting with those three things and the intersections of those three passions are honestly what led me to where I am today.
And that is what is so cool. So for anyone listening, if you're thinking about like, what do I do? What's my big purpose? Just find your little P purposes and put those together. And you don't even have to know what you're doing. Just start doing.
Yeah.
In Shelley's case,
the breadcrumbs.
Exactly. The travel, the photography, the writing. And all of a sudden, here you go. Like for me, when I started Love Speaks, I didn't know I was starting it. I will never forget being in our president's office, president of OWN, Sherry Salata's office, and I brought to her a speech I had written that I thought about when I was not in meditation, but I was in a gum surgery. Like, you know, like whatever. It's like I put it off. Who had time for gum surgery? I've had like 15 of them, but whatever. And it was the first time I had been silent and still. And I was having the surgery, but my mind was just like seeing what was next for me, because the show had just ended. And I wrote this speech about love speaking through what you do what you love. And it was really intended for students studying television and wanting to be television producers. And so I brought the speech to Sherry and I said, are you okay with me going out and doing this, you know, when I can? And I remember she looked at me at one point. She's like, is this a business? I'm like, no, because it wasn't. I'm like, what? No, it's not a business. But it was. And so was yours. Like, you didn't know when you were leaving that you were going to launch a platform. And sometimes when we look back, you know, a year later, 4 years later, whatever, and you go, oh my gosh, that's baby step momentum.
Yeah.
And that is what people need to see, that that if you can do it and I can do it, anyone can do it, because if you just start small, you can play big when you realize that you're big.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not big, but I, you know, you're big. But what I'm saying is you can get there and you can be proud of the baby steps that then give you exactly what your purpose is.
Yeah. I'm not big, but I'm having an impact, and so are you.
Yes.
And I'm really proud of the impact that both of us are having in the world.
I agree.
And it is a result of baby steps. And
it
by
is.
The way, I didn't even realize, so we have another commonality. So when I went to a book writing retreat.
Yes.
So it's writing retreat in Carmel, and I show up with kind of just some ideas and a few essays around what a soulbatical book might be. This is back in 2017.
And you didn't have a publisher.
Oh, it didn't have a publisher. It was just like, I want to do this one day. And so maybe I'll go do this thing. And so I had been helping my dad with his stroke and whatever.
Right.
And I said, I'm still going to go do this. However, so I show up and the exact same thing happened. What Sherry said to you, I show up and I start reading a few essays that I'd written in New Zealand, and there was like crickets in the room. And I'm like, oh my fucking God, like I need
to
leave.
Crickets.
Like, I'm like, I am in the wrong place. They are basically booing me out of the room with their eyeballs.
Silence.
Exactly. Their silence and their eyeballs.
It's not your people.
This is a disaster. I've just wasted like thousands of dollars. And then all of a sudden they start to speak up, and I reference this in the book because it was the first moment where somebody looked at me and said, girl, you will have a book on your hands, but this is a movement and this is a platform
and
you need to make this into a business and the book will happen.
Yes.
But spend your time here. And funny enough that you said glossary earlier, I spent part of my time that week developing a soulbatical lexicon. Like I have a glossary somewhere that I haven't thought of until now.
No, you need
now.
To make a glossary. I have it on my questions and I haven't even looked at my question sheet. And I'm like, do you have a glossary? Like, literally.
Funny enough, I'm going to resurrect it now that you've asked me that. But I had that same experience. So it's like, also, I think another lesson from this is like, share your story, because we both were out there sharing things with other people. And that was what was being reflected back. Right. You didn't see it in the moment.
I didn't
see it in the moment. We don't always see these things for ourselves.
Right. Oh my gosh, so much. I'm freaking out that we only have an hour. Okay, Mike Paxton, your dad. He's a powerful force in your life and in your book. He was a CEO businessman who had, you say it, the something being instead of living.
Well, what I realized after he had his strokes and he was – thankfully, he survived and he's still recovering 3 years later. What we realized, or what I realized in hearing my dad talk about his experience with the strokes, is that we had both been living business. Is this what you were talking about?
Yes.
We had both been living business for our entire lives, and we're now shifting to the business of living.
The business of living. Yeah. Thank you. I love that.
That honestly, if I had to pinpoint a moment where I completely understood that I was never going back to the corporate world, because the words my dad said in that moment, he said he decided to live. He chose to live after the second stroke because days later he realized he had different work to do in the world.
Talk about, see, there you go, another crisis, what that brings to people.
Exactly.
Would you read from page 26, the second paragraph about that starts with, we remind dad, and for you listening, this is a story that made me laugh out loud, also heartfelt, but it's about when your dad like made his grand appearance after his stroke.
Yeah. How far do you want me to read?
The whole paragraph.
Okay.
Because the last line is my favorite. Okay, go.
We remind Dad that his comeback story puts normal to shame. He beat the odds. He flipped the bird to the Grim Reaper twice. He talks nonstop, connecting the pathways to more words every day, says our names again, and can scream, God damn it, at us when he gets frustrated. He's back on the golf course sinking 30-foot putts as a lefty. His wit is sharp. His spirit is bursting. His laugh is almost at a full sonic boom again, and he's walking with a cane.
Yay.
The first time he walked on his own 2 feet into the country club ballroom, the entire place erupted. Over 100 people rose to their feet to honor him with a standing ovation that lasted a full 10 minutes until he arrived at his seat. Dad beamed with pride the whole way. Put that in your pipe and smoke it, Dr. Dismal. And for those who haven't read the book, Dr. Dismal is the head doctor in the neuro ICU who basically every hour of every day just kept preparing us for our dad's death. And we were like, you don't know this guy.
Right. You were rebelling for your dad. And when you called, when you said, put that in your pipe and smoke it, Dr. Dismal, I was like, I have a very large crush on you because that is some shit and funny. And the fact that you just wrote it that way, like you, well, have I asked you before, have you ever done stand up? Because you need to think about that.
Oh, no, but I'm so inspired by you.
It's so much fun.
Okay.
It's
you so and much I have fun. To have a whole
Maybe when the pandemic is over, we'll take a class together and That's that would be idea. Really fun.
You know what? I'm looking at that kind of challenge, like creative challenge would be really good for me right now.
Yes.
So, you know, I'm a product of improv. So I've never done stand-up comedy, but I am a Second City girl.
Right.
And we had a troupe back in my 20s called the Oxymorons.
I love it. I mean, you must have been like the star player.
No, we had such a good troupe. We had so much fun. And it was the early to mid 90s. So we had fun with the Clintons and Somalia and like all of
these. Oh my God,
I can't even remember.
Well, the Clintons, that's just enough. That's you don't even juicy. Need Somalia.
Exactly.
Oh my gosh. Well, I love about being brave because being brave is not about, doing something so that you can be good at that something. Being brave is doing something to remind yourself to go back and do the things that you already do well better. So that's what stand-up did for me, and I'm sure improv for you as well. There's nothing like making people laugh. So if you can do that in your job, in your family, although my family's like, enough, thank you.
Because you rehearse on them? Do you practice on them?
Just everything. And my son's like, I'm like, do you like my comedy, Billy? He's like, mm-mm. Not at all. Anyway.
Oh my God, that's hilarious. So, and, but can I say one more thing on topic of courage since you brought it up again?
Sure,
I just love it. So the other thing that improv taught me as it relates to courage is this idea of go before you're ready.
Ooh, yes, that push that we all need to jump off the board.
Exactly.
Go before you're ready.
Because that's what you learn in improv is like, you could stand there all day. If you have, for anybody who's been to an improv comedy, like, you know, not an actual pre-written skit, but when you're doing true improv from audience suggestions,
right.
If there's a troupe of people, like two are out on the stage doing their thing, and then the troupe is standing behind, they tap in and tap out.
Yep.
And so
makes me so nervous as an audience member. I'm like, I'm so nervous for them.
But think about it. You could, if you're in the back line and you're watching two of your, you know, fellow improv members like doing their thing, you could stand there all day.
But you're listening and you're thinking, which is what I say as a speaker is the most key thing to be a good speaker. And it's really hard.
And you thought, yes, it's really hard. You're listening. You're being very present. Like there's so many lessons I learned. I think I did a whole solo podcast episode on improv. I called it Rebelling for Possibility. And it's the things that I learned. But this is, it's so true. And then it's like, as soon as you kind of have that instinct, you're never going to feel ready.
Ever.
But it's time.
And then all of a sudden you're talking.
And trust your intuition. All of a sudden you're talking. All of a sudden you've tapped that person out and you are in the scene, in the spotlight.
You're in the arena.
You're in the arena. Thank you, Brené. Brené. I know Sister Brené.
So
somebody texted me and said she was on the Today Show this morning. But
oh, really?
I know. I didn't see it.
I love her. And I think you look like her.
Oh, my gosh.
I mean,
but with red hair.
You don't look like her as much as you feel like her to me.
That makes sense to me.
Yeah.
That makes sense to me.
Yeah.
You are not the first person who've said that. And honestly, like, I love that I'm Shelley Paxton.
Yeah.
And I also am so honored and humbled that anybody would associate me with Brené because I'm in love with her work in
and
the world.
And you've done the work. You've done the
I'm certified Brené Brown.
Right.
A Dare to Lead facilitator.
Right.
So I have actually gotten to sit in a room with Brené. I get to get on her community calls where she updates us. And I am just in awe of what she continues to create and how she does it so authentically.
So
I mean, it's all the things that we're talking about.
And she
about.
Never wanted to be big.
No.
She always wanted to play small.
She doesn't want to be.
She doesn't.
So
I know that
awesome.
For a fact. And she like, just that whole TED Talk, she was like, what? People watched that? And then all of a sudden, there she was. She was big. I do want to tell you a really quick Brené Brown story, which I think I've told you, but maybe I haven't. I quit my job. Was going to start Love Speaks, my business. Now I realize it's a business. 3 years after that conversation I had with Sherry, my job was non-existent anymore. And I had a derailment because I found out something about my marriage, blah, 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 blah. And so I had to go back and ask for my job back, which I did. Not fun day. But props to Harriet. Love you so much, Howie. Anyway, so we have a show with Brené Brown. Oh, wow. Like, oof. Come on. So it was for Oprah's Life class. So I'm like, universe, thank you, who you call directly, her, which
yes,
I love.
Her.
You call the universe her.
I'm convinced.
Totally. But how could the universe be a man? It's 100% a woman.
Oh, you know, we could do a whole episode on that.
We could. So many topics. So very quickly, I will just tell you that I bought her book, Daring Greatly. Because I had to do the research. I was producing the audience. I read it. I was like, oh, this is going to fix my marriage. My husband read it. It did fix our marriage. We're always fixing, but it was a huge piece of it. And at the end of the show, you know, I met every celebrity that was, you know, that ever came because I was always in the studio, the girl with a clipboard. And I was really nervous to meet her. I didn't want to meet her, actually. I just wanted her to just be who I wanted it, you know, just my vision of her. I didn't want to meet her. I cut through the hallway, and there she is, to go back to my office after the show, and there she is with a producer, Dana, and our eyes lock. And we stood there for a second, and she looked at me, and she said, you have great hair. And all I heard was, you're doing great, Sally Lou. And I started to cry, and she's like, and I looked at her, and I'm like, your book saved my marriage. And that was that. And that's my Brené Brown story. So makes for, you know, a good hair day. It was like,
oh, man.
I did not hear the words she said. I only heard what I wanted to hear, which was, you're doing great, Sally Lou. And Brené Brown has single-handedly helped me and my husband just as much as our therapy team. So I'm grateful to her. So I think that's why I love you so much, because you really feel like a Brené Brown. So
thank you.
It's wonderful.
Well, let's send that like vibe into the universe.
Yeah.
Brené's on my personal board of directors.
Exactly. I know. I 100%. I have them too. I love that. Let's talk about that. You have a board of directors. Tell me who they are.
I have a personal board of directors. I've decided it needs to be revolving, but I'll tell you who's on it. Yeah, exactly. So Oprah, of course.
Yes.
Sister Brené,
yes.
Of course.
Yes.
Michelle Obama.
This is my board. Are they serving on both boards? Go on.
That's okay. They can serve on multiple boards.
I know.
Given that we don't really tap into them on a daily basis. I do virtually and spiritually.
Or at least that they know of.
Energetically.
That they know of. Right.
I think they're like our energetic and spiritual board. Arianna Huffington.
Okay.
Tina Fey.
Love.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
And then I had one guy who's now my spirit angel, and that's Anthony Bourdain.
Oh, yeah.
Because he's that rebel creative spirit that I wanted to have as kind of an anchor to all of that other energy.
It's a good balance.
Yeah. So I've left him on there.
Bruce Springsteen is on mine.
Okay, that's
greatest storyteller of all time. And I'm almost finished listening to his book. I didn't want to read it. I wanted to listen to his voice.
I love that.
Oh.
I love that. Wait, so, who's on yours?
Well, Oprah, Brené, Michelle, Beyonce, and Bruce Springsteen. Those are my five. And of course my dad. But
Beyonce's a good one.
Yeah, Beyonce. I was more excited to meet Brené Brown than I was to meet Beyonce. But I really enjoyed meeting Beyonce.
Of course. I completely understand that. I mean, Brené's work just around authenticity
it's insane. Listen, I say my favorite line in my book is, you know you're a midlifer. I don't know if I say it this way, but you know you're a midlifer when you're more excited to meet a researcher who studies vulnerability and shame than a pop star with like millions and millions and billions of fans. So.
Amen, sister. Although let's be honest, Brené's creeping up on Beyonce.
I know. So you say all good brands start with the soul, tell us some of your favorite brands that are soul-based.
Well, you know what? So let me tell you where that comes from,
okay.
And then I'll tell you, because I'm thinking, when I say that, I'm thinking of brands like Tom's and Spanx and Beauty Counter and Mind Valley.
Right.
So the reason I say that is because I think there are all these myths around purpose. And one of them is that purpose can't be for profit. This is where this whole thing started for me.
Interesting.
Because when I was wrestling with this whole big P purpose, to go back to that conversation, I was just like, why is it so overwhelming? Why is it so intimidating for all of us? And I think it's because we have these myths built up. And so one of them was like, oh, but if I'm on purpose, that means that I can't do this commercial thing that I'm doing, or I can't make money, or it has to be
selling out,
not for profit. Yeah, otherwise I'm selling out. And I kind of was like, well, wait a second, that's not the case. Those things aren't mutually exclusive. And most brands that have that kind of soul were started because somebody wanted to do better, feel better, look better, you know, think better, whatever it was. And so I was like, oh, well, that's what it is. It starts from like that story in your soul of like, well, I want to solve this thing like Sarah Blakely did with Spanx,
right?
It didn't start with, oh, I'm going to be a female billionaire.
And that's the big P, little P thing.
Exactly.
Totally.
Yeah. And I think it's let's listen to that intuition that we have just to say, hey, there's an opportunity here, right? Because if I want to be better or feel better or look better or do better, somebody else probably does too.
Right.
So what's there?
Right.
Like start to mine that for your own insights.
Right. And solving a problem.
Totally.
Yeah.
And what I love, I mean, Beauty Counter is one of my personal favorites these days because I love that not only has it become this booming business, they are in DC fighting for regulations.
Yeah.
around clean makeup
right,
and what can
right.
be in our beauty products.
Right.
And that's so powerful to me. So it's like the most incredible, you know, proof positive that
totally.
You can have the
and
commercial.
A woman brand for women, by women, protecting women.
Yeah.
And
now doing
sure.
a few cool things for men too, which
right.
is awesome. But
which
yes.
is so cool. Right.
Yeah. I
right.
love that.
If you're enjoying this podcast, I would love it if you would consider rating it 5 stars. You notice that there aren't commercials, right? That's because I don't have a sponsor. Not yet, anyway. So listen to the Love Speak series, commercial free, and rate it 5 stars. Send it to your friends, share it, spread the love, and thank you for listening.
Okay, so you live life on your terms. It took you a while. You know, you didn't do it in your 30s or 40s. Or maybe you did in your late 40s, I should say. People listening who are not living their life on their own terms, which is so many of us, because it really is a luxury to live life on your own terms. You couldn't walk away from your job without having some money in the bank. And a lot of people don't when yeah. they walk away from a job. They're living paycheck to paycheck. So how can someone live life on their own terms when they don't have, you know, the CMO bank account?
Yeah. Well, I love this question because I sort of falsely thought when I left Harley that sabbatical meant you have to leave, that it was like a sabbatical, but for your soul.
Right.
And as I've been on this journey, I have realized that it actually is not about leaving your job at all. It's about finding yourself. And when you realize that, I think it's about a few things, right? So one is, I always like to say, every one of us can become chief soul officer of our lives.
Totally.
Right? And chief love officer for that matter.
Right.
Right. So every one of us can make that choice. So we have that responsibility and that reminder to care for ourselves. It's a reminder of radical self-commitment to our truth and our values and our purpose and our authenticity.
So everybody listening should just give yourself a title.
Yes.
I don't care where you work or if you don't work, especially if you don't work, give yourself a title and put it on your Instagram bio and like own it.
And own it.
And guess what's going to happen? You're going to become that. You
yeah.
will see as soon as you put it in the universe, she will take care of you and it will happen. So
yeah, and you live into it. So
totally.
Absolutely write it, own it. Like I want more of us in the world to
totally.
Be living sabbatical and be chief soul officers. I don't want to own that stuff. I'm putting it out in the
right.
world for all of us to
right.
own. And
right.
the other thing I would say is, especially us as women, like part of being a chief soul officer is giving yourself permission.
Are you wearing a Harley Davidson t-shirt?
I actually am.
I can't believe I didn't notice that.
I'm wearing a vintage Harley
You're
t-shirt
such
today.
Such a rocker.
Oh
okay,
my gosh,
sorry.
So funny.
Sorry.
I'm not even going to go down that rabbit hole. Anyway, yes, it's one of my favorites.
Totally interrupted.
Wait,
you.
No, that's okay. I can get back to where I was.
Couldn't even tell you where we were. Oh my God.
I can. Hold on. Permission. So one
okay.
of the things about being a chief soul officer of your life is that we give ourselves permission to like a radical self-commitment, right?
Yeah.
Like we give ourselves permission to give ourselves space to sit still, to prioritize our needs, which most of us are not good at doing.
Right.
And here's the other thing, and this is the simplest thing I can ask people to do
Yay.
Right now.
Okay.
Do an energy audit in your life. Get really clear, like grab a piece of paper, draw a line down the middle, and on the left-hand column, I call them soul sucks.
Right.
So the things that suck your energy, the things
right.
that are literally like the damp, wet blanket on your campfire,
right?
Right.
Right.
And the right column is soul fuels.
Okay.
So those are the things that, to our earlier conversation, light you up and
right.
bring you joy and you could do all day long. Give yourself, literally just set the stopwatch on your phone. Give yourself 5 minutes on each column and do not pick your pen up. Just keep writing and writing.
Whatever
everything
comes
that comes through you.
Right.
Everything. Don't overthink it. Don't judge
yeah.
it.
There's no right or wrong.
There's zero right or wrong. Do that for the left column. Do that for the right column. And then just sit back.
And then what?
And observe.
Right.
And then ask yourself the question, what surprises me? Right? Is one list markedly longer than the other list?
Right.
are there things on either one of those lists that I'm like, wow, where did that come from? I didn't even know that like came through me. What inspires you? You know, what scares you about what's on that list or the length of the list? There's a whole, and I go through this in the book too, there's a whole list of questions you can start asking yourself, but it will bring stuff up. And here's the thing, all of it is to say, almost all of us have a list on the left side, the soul suck side, that is longer than the list on the soul fuel side.
Right.
And this is an opportunity. If you do nothing else in your life, you don't leave your job, but you want to start to take some of those baby steps, start to prune some of the soul sucks.
Get rid of them.
Get rid of them.
Right.
Because most of those things, ask yourself, like, what am I doing out of obligation? What am I doing out of guilt? Right. What am I doing because, oh, my favorite word or my least favorite word, I should.
Oh, yeah. Talk to me about the shoulds.
Because I say like liberation comes from releasing ourselves from the shackles of should.
Right.
Because a big portion of my book, like the middle meat of my book, is about me telling the story of all the shoulds, the stories I was telling myself in my head. Well, I've invested all this time and energy in my corporate career. I should stay on this track.
Right.
You know, nobody leaves the job as chief marketing officer of Harley freaking Davidson.
No one.
I should stay here. I felt really privileged. I was privileged, but I also felt like guilty for asking myself, is this all there is?
Right.
And I also felt like I should be making all these personal sacrifices for work. And so all these things, I started to understand this pattern of saying should all the time. So this is another thing we can all take away. A little thing in your life is being aware of your language.
Right.
And when you catch yourself saying should, be like, wait a second, why? And where is that coming from? Because usually it's a limiting belief. It's conditioning.
Right.
Right. This is like what Glennon Doyle talks about, right? This is like the tamed in the cage cheetah. We should all over ourselves.
Yeah, I love when you say that.
Right.
We're shoulding all over ourselves.
Shoulding all over ourselves. So, you know, so part of letting that cheetah out of the cage to become untamed again is unconditioning ourselves from that. And should is a dangerous part of our language.
I love that. So take that should and shove it.
Put that in your pipe and smoke it.
Dr. Dismal. I think the light bulb moment for me just listening to you is that not only should we be making our list of soul fuels and soul sucks, but we should be making our list of language.
Yeah.
Language we make up. Language we make up. Shelley Paxton has made up her own language, and so can you. And when you make that language into what works for you, it kind of is a really funny reminder to stay on your path, stay on your purpose.
Yeah.
And I love that.
And
here's a quick pivot
because I know we're almost
we got 5 minutes.
But here's a quick pivot. It's like when you catch yourself saying I should, ask those questions. Why? Where is that coming from? Who told me that? Or why do I believe that's true? And then ask yourself, what do I want to do?
Yeah. Wow. Nobody asks themselves that.
No. What do I want to do? What do I get to do? You know, what do I want to create? It's so, and it puts the power, like I feel my energy automatically rises when I say that versus I should.
Oh, totally.
Just like slumping in my chair.
And I think it's so important. One of my messages is to remind people that it doesn't matter if you hit it big or hit it medium or hit it small. Like it doesn't matter the size of your audience that they've showed up to listen to you. So whatever you want, what you want, not what you should do, what you want is what you should do. No, I'm sorry. Is what you are doing because it makes sense.
Yeah.
It just makes sense. And when a message that you have lands on someone's heart, that's so powerful. And then it's the ripple effect, and then it's going to land on 2 hearts, and then it's going to land on 10 hearts. So I love that.
Ripples of impact. You know, that's the new definition of ROI, right?
Oh.
Ripples of impact. I talk about this all the time now. Yes.
Ripples of impact is the new ROI for sure. See, now did you make that up or is that?
Okay. So I'll tell you the very short version of the story behind that. I was giving a virtual presentation on my Rebel Leaders Manifesto and my Rebel Leadership Principles that were in the Inc. magazine. Well, some of them were in the Inc. magazine article. and the audience was going crazy. And like the chat box with the
chat,
was going crazy. And
like Cheryl, in the chat.
Exactly, exactly. And all the things are happening. And then all of a sudden everything stopped and this one woman's comment. And she said, Shelley, you have just redefined ROI to be ripples of impact. Ooh, so she put together everything I was saying, but I hadn't seen it together.
Yes.
She branded it. Although now that I've looked it up, because I actually was like, could I trademark that?
Yeah.
And it's used, but it's not widely used. And because I say I'm an impact billionaire, my goal, I don't care about money. I care about impact.
Right.
And my goal in the world is to liberate a billion souls. That's going to be organizations and people. And so ripples of impact is now my way of thinking, like you and I are having this conversation and all of these beautiful love officers are listening to it and soul officers are listening to it. And then they're going to impact their communities. Like I see the ripples happening as a result of this conversation. So
that's beautiful.
I knew you would love that.
I love that. And how are you making an impact on businesses to become more soulful?
Oh man. So this is work that I'm just starting.
Right. It's big.
It's huge. And I kind of sigh because I know how big it is. And actually, to take us all the way back to the beginning, when I told the story about, you know, my big rocks and feeling overwhelmed and trying to get focus and determine what my tens are, I realized that some of the angst I was feeling is I know how big this is and I know it needs more time from me.
It does.
And so I'm calling it, the handle is Soulbatical for Business right now because I don't yet know what to call it. It'll be that. I think of it as like, what is the soul of business?
Yes.
And how do we bring back the soul of business?
Right.
And so I'm just starting down this path with a partner, actually, really understanding how we can present Soulbatical back to companies. I want to start with progressive companies, creative companies, maybe tech companies who really need their people to be fueled up to be creative and innovative and highly productive. And let's flip that script. Let's flip the time off script. Let's, you know, teach people a different way to live and support them.
I mean, could it not happen at a more perfect time when everyone is learning how to do business remotely from home? They need the connection. They need to know that they matter. They need to know that the companies behind them. I mean, I know it's awful, this pandemic, especially after you launched your book, but guess what? Like, it is an opportunity. This is exactly full circle. Like, in the worst of circumstances, this is the opportunity for all of us to have our businesses, you know, of those that will survive, sadly, really understand that their biggest resource are their people.
Yeah.
And they have to be fulfilled. It's very cool.
It has to be. And I love that you brought that word back, fulfilled, because that's what all of this is. It's about how can we be successful?
Right.
And successful looks
full.
Different. It's
right.
full. It's
right.
fulfilling. It's joyful.
Right.
It's allowing us to care for ourselves so we can bring the most of ourselves to work. Because what else is the point?
What is the point?
Otherwise, I joked early on, quarantine or Soulbatical, because honestly, that's what it felt like in the beginning.
Well, when I was in my 18 days of isolation and I was very, very sick, I read two books. One was yours and one was Willa's Grove by Laura Munson, New York Times bestselling author and friend who I also met when I launched my book. So you are my two author friends that I met and became very, you know, like, I love you guys, like love. And so hers is fiction, yours is not. They made me feel so connected. And so you were part of my COVID therapy. But I really treated it as me time. I mean, I was really sick and I didn't sleep and it was scary. But I was in my sister's yoga room because I was at her house. And my family was there. Her family was not. And I was like, I am not doing anything but stuff that feels good for me. Yeah. So that's what I did. And your book is the reason why I said that. I was like, I am going to be on my retreat, my Soulbatical. It well, I mean, next time I do it, I hope I don't have COVID because it kind of sucked.
Well, you know what? You can do it every day. You are taking, you are taking care of yourself.
I
say now we can live this every day of our lives.
Exactly. And it doesn't have to be all day. It can be for 10 minutes. It can be for 2 hours.
If you do nothing else, give yourself, here's something to give yourself permission to do. Take 15 minutes of quiet a day.
Oh, that's the best gift you can give yourself.
The best gift you can give yourself.
I do 20. Quick lightning round. Things you love the most. Word you love the most. I already know it. Begins with an F.
Fuck.
Yep, exactly.
That is one of my favorites.
Season you love the most.
Fall.
Oh, me too. Where you like to travel the most. You've traveled so much. Country.
New Zealand is my spirit land.
New Zealand, right. TV series you love the most.
Oh, my God. I don't know if I have one I love the most, but I will say what I binged.
Or currently.
Yeah, what I binged over during quarantine is Outlander.
Okay. I have not seen that yet.
Which I never thought I was going to watch. And I got so sucked in and I realized I'm a sappy romantic at heart.
And I'm totally watching Parenthood with my husband. And I probably watched some. I definitely did watch some. But we watched it, when it was on NBC. But we're watching it from beginning to end. And I can't get enough of it.
Oh,
I'm obsessed with the Bravermans.
I have to say, a family obsession. I'm obsessed with, what are they called? I love Arrested Development.
Me
too! With Jason Bateman.
I love that show. My son introduced us to it. And
best show ever.
Portia's husband who never gets naked. What's his name? I forget. Uncle something. I don't know. He is beyond hysterical.
I'm not going to remember all their names but that I think is one of my all-time favorite
so
series,
well-written.
I have to say.
It's
yes.
so well written. Well, I have like 100 more questions to ask you. And I'm just going to end with this. First of all, do you have a daily prayer? That's not my end question.
I don't have a daily prayer. I used to read an Oath of Abundance every morning.
Cool.
Which was awesome. Actually, if I can find it again, I should give you a link to that.
Please.
I used to read the Oath of Abundance every morning and I meditate. I use the Calm app and meditate.
Awesome. What is exciting you right now?
This whole sabbatical for business thing.
Yeah, I feel
it's just, I'm on fire and I don't yet even know. Crossing yet another threshold of like, I don't know where this is going. I don't even know what it looks like. And I know it's the next step of my calling.
Well, I don't mean to pitch, but I did a really cool, and I've done it before, but I did a really cool virtual event with a team who fundraises for a private school in Brooklyn. And it was basically the power of their story. And so I included, you know, the 16 members and they each told pieces of their story. And then we like wove it together on how it, you know, ties into the business and what they do and how they can support each other. And story really allows you to be more empathetic, more, you know, connected and more invested. It actually makes teams more efficient. So as you grow your freaking huge sabbatical for business and you have like experts that come in, I'm raising my hand for story time because story time for teams who are, you know, in business together, we're so busy with our business, we forget to get busy knowing each other.
Oh,
and story
is
what helps.
Yes, so, yes, yes, yes.
Where can we find you?
Oh, man. So you can buy my book.
Yes.
Sabbatical, A Corporate Rebel's Guide to Finding Your Best Life
is available in
all the places, Amazon, or you can go to bookshop.org, which was actually created by the publishers during the pandemic to support indie bookstores,
Ooh,
which I love to support my local bookstores. So bookshop.org, if you're in the States, I think it's not outside of the States. Instagram is my playground. So at Soulbatical, and Soulbatical has 2 B's and 1 T.
Right.
And then for anything else, like the repository is my website, soulbatical.com. You can get Soul Fuel, which is my newsletter that goes out once a month. You can see my writing. You can see my features, all the things.
And your podcast.
Oh, and my podcast, Rebel Souls, is also on, it's on every podcast platform, but it's also on my website as well. So that's the easy one-stop shop.
Love, 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 love everything you're doing. I am so glad the universe brought us together through our friend Mal. And I'm just grateful to know you. You make me want to do more and be better. I really follow you in a way that is not just because you've now become a friend, but I really learn from you and I really really like it and I'm inspired. So if for all the women entrepreneurs out there, men too, but I just am speaking to women. If you're looking at other women entrepreneurs in your space, in your field, and you're like feeling like, oh, why am I not her? No, fuck that. Just make friends with that person and share resources and let each other be, you know, inspirational to each other, because that's when women support women, we can do everything. So,
amen, yeah. Sister. And thanks for having such an impact on my life. Oh, thank you.
Thank you for writing The Way You Speak. Your book was fuel to me during COVID and continues to be fuel to me now that I'm healthy. So everybody go read Soulbatical, because you will realize that you need one too. You'll go get yourself one. It might not be like Shelley's, but it'll be yours. And that's what's awesome. So thanks, everybody. Thanks, Shelley.
Thank you.
Your love speaks.
Love you.
Bye. Love you back. I have loved speaking with you today, and I want to speak with you more. So follow me on all of my social platforms at Live Love Speaks on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. And if you want more stories like the stories we speak here on the Love Speaks series podcast, go to lovespeaks.com and pick up a copy of my new book, Speak. Love your story, your audience is waiting to step up your speaking game and your human game. Check out my blog while you're there.
Sally Lou Loveman is a mom, speaker, author, former audience producer for The Oprah Winfrey Show, and founder of Love Speaks. Each week, Sally Lou and her crew have a conversation about how love speaks in their lives and how it can speak in yours. From kindness to composting, no topic is off limits. If you need a community to kickstart your heart, you need the Love Speaks series.
Thanks for listening. Your love speaks.